are live. Welcome to the RGDFS Tournament Takes podcast. I'm your host, Chris Kirkwood. Kirk D's here with my boys, Canada's newest inductee to the DFS, Canadian DFS Hall of Fame. The man is going down as the number one ranked Canadian DFS player. My man, Toe Tag and Tambo, Tyler Tamboline. And also the other man, my boy with the biggest shoes, self-proclaimed biggest pair of shoes in the industry, has said some kid can't even fit into them. That's how big they are. But he's back after a Twitter war this week. Brett Harfield, Killer B 2482. We are here to talk about week 17 on the pod. Hope everybody had a happy new year and is doing well. But what's going on, fellas?
Jokes, Kirkwood. It was all jokes. It was all for the funnies, all for the LOLs. Doing well. It's week 17, baby. We got like team motivation to look at. So I did a little bit of macro research, a lot of injuries and, you know, stuff like that to worry about. COVID still hitting teams, especially the whole Saints running backfield. So interesting week. But it's about, first off, macro research, knowing what teams have to play for, and then you can bust into the micro research of the players. But Tambo, how you doing, man? How's your Christmas?
I'm doing fantastic, man. Yeah. Christmas was good. Everything's good. I'm on here with my boys, Kirkwood, with the self-proclaimed greatest voice in DFS out there, just running it.
Thank you. Somebody sees it. Yeah.
Yeah, I got you, man. I mean, I know you got that. You don't got that money though with Clemson, but you got that voice, so we're good there.
No, I'm burned. It's a surprise I even made it to the show. I'm so miserable after I couldn't sleep after I blew a lot of money on Clemson last night.
Yeah, if only you had those Ohio State plays, man. Head chopper, the guy giving up the dough, and you're not taking it. So we'll learn.
Head chopper is the one who told me to take Clemson. He was the pick I specifically, the guy must be nice to just win a million and then give out losing picks to your buddies.
There's levels to this shit, man. There's different units you put on different plays. The Clemson play was not it. You missed the good plays and you went all in on the bad play. That's what happened. But hey, we're here to talk about Twitter wars. We're here to talk about your boy J-Mac. What's the real deal here that's going on? We got to convert this back and get on board, because we said before the pod.
Let's talk about that. Let's talk about my boy J-Mac, Justin McMahon, DFI War Rooms. Kid's a young kid. I know him well. He's a super nice guy, built a great company, does a lot of screenshot posting. I get it, but he's also in the tout business. That's what we do, right? Like you gotta build your brand, you know. Kid crushes best ball, right? Wins a couple hundred grand or $100,000 on one team, but had multiple teams that cashed in some of the high dollar stuff. And then Brett comes out of in the Twitterverse and just went after this kid and started saying he can't even fit into my shoes. I mean, I want to know what shoes these are, because they kind of sound like clown shoes to me.
Oh, jeez.
It's, you know, again, it was for the LOLs. It's to basically rib him a little bit. I mean, if you've ever been in the gambling world, like, this is what you do when somebody's kind of like on a high horse or whatever. But when he said like he has the best ball content in the industry, I kind of had to slap him up a little bit, because he doesn't. And I get it. He's trying to promote his site and whatnot. And he had that's an unbelievable healthy team that got through. Obviously, you got to run good with, you know, when you take second place in a tournament for 100K. But yeah, I just had to slap him up a little bit, and that's it. So. He's got way more Twitter followers than me, so I expected to get a little bit of hate. But you know, if we can lock in some type of, you know, DFS bets after this,
I know. So we'll get him. What we'll do is we'll get him on the show as a special guest on our, if we do a playoff show, and we'll iron out a bet, because I know this guy loves to bet. He loves to do heads up challenges. He loves all of that stuff. So if you're saying that's what you want, I know he'll come on and he'll cook, and he'll be completely cordial and nice. He's a nice guy.
Oh, yeah. Brett wants that. Brett loves a good head-to-head.
And you know what? I'll double down and I'll bet on J-Mac. That's what I'll do. All right.
Kirkwood, I know me and you have our, like, you know, back and forth. Like, so I'm
the old married couple here, and I'm sure Brett will double down on that bet as well. He'll take it on his side too.
And then we'll have to see who Tambo takes. Who Tambo takes, because he's going to try to be Switzerland on the sidelines.
I'll be slapping him up in NBA.
I know how
he rolls. Slapping him up in NBA.
I like to try to do everybody.
We'll have to do all three sets. I think he's only on DK and FanDuel. I don't think I've ever seen him on Yahoo.
He's got a shame of missing the site.
You don't have to do all three sites. You don't have to do all three sites.
Oh no, let's make it. Let's make it.
Pick a site and bet some real money. Be a man.
Yeah. Oh.
I think DK FanDuel's fair though. I like that bet. Both sites, the two mains.
I just love it how everybody knows the kid's financials. Like everybody, he marries into a family, and I have to hear about how he's a billionaire now. Like,
this will be discussed on the future show, man. We're gonna get him on. We're gonna do a playoff show just for this.
Cool. Let's do it. All right. Week 17, boys.
All right. So we've got this slate is a mess. So the edge is to do your research today. What we've been doing because everything got thrown out the window with the entire Saints running back. Anybody?
Tell people what time it is. What part of the day it is? Saturday.
I mean, it's Saturday at noon Eastern. So we just got the news about the Saints, and they're going to have no running backs, except now they're going to have Ty Montgomery move to running back. The first thing I did was to look up to see if he was a wide receiver. I was hoping he was a 3K wide receiver, but he's not. He's a running back. So whatever, he'll be certainly a chalky play we can get into. But, there's just going to be loads of situations. We got not only we have motivation to deal with, right? We don't know per se, right? We can all read an article. We can all look up standings, and we can all also look up who's playing for bonuses and awards, and all that stuff's important. But at the end of the day, we don't know what the coach is actually thinking here. So it's a lot of guesswork. You got to put together. There's a lot of variance. It's a great week for GPPs. Do your research, figure out who's playing, and try to pick up coach speak here and there and whatnot. But at the end of the day, these guys are all liars. All right. So we've got also a massive amount of games. We have 15 games, right? So I'm not even going to do this game by game thing that we usually start with. Let's just go right into it. And unless you guys have a big picture overview, you want to get off your chest.
No, I like
now.
What you just said. Let's just go position like we always do. Start at running back and move it around and talk about the guys we actually like and what we've heard so far, things that your angles you might have on it, as Brett mentioned, with some stuff with motivation that, like you said, Kirkwood, they could all be liars, but some of these tidbits are nice to have and see if they can help some people out.
Yeah, and I'll throw this out. There are a few games that do stand out on an island with over-unders, but just keeping an eye on Vegas. There's a lot of big line movements this week, obviously, because of motivation. Like the Steelers just benched Roethlisberger, right? They can be a 2 seed or a 3 seed, but it looks like they're waving the flag and they're good with the 3 seed. So,
And Cleveland needs to win that game to get in. Other games of importance. I mean, obviously the Giants game, they're going to against the Cowboys. Those teams are going to be going all out, because if the winner of that game gets in, as long as the Washington football team loses on Sunday night, so they won't know until the evening. So they're going to be going all out. There's other teams that are completely, waving the white flag, which is the Chiefs, who've, have already announced that they're benching players because they have absolutely nothing to play for. And then there's sticky situations with the Bills, who technically have something tiny to play for. But and we don't know if they're going to be resting guys or not. We're just making our best guess here. So, a lot of variance. But let's start off.
One more thing to throw out there, too, is weather is going to be a deal this weekend. So check in on Kevin Roth's weather report. There's multiple games.
Well, and with those games, the games to look out for. I mean, they all start. He's listed them all as yellow. So it doesn't seem major, but would be in Buffalo, Miami at Buffalo. Dallas at New York is potential. There's some chance for some rain or showers in Cleveland and Washington. No, that's not on the slate, so it doesn't matter. It all looks kind of mild though. So yeah, it's not any of those big spots that we had earlier this year. All right. So quarterback position. Right at the top, the most expensive is Tambo's boy, Lamar Jackson. He has something to play for. So, Speaking of motivation, the Ravens, if the Ravens beat the Bengals, they're in the playoffs as a wild card. So they need this game. They're also get a great matchup. So also Lamar needs just 98 rushing yards to reach 1,000 yards. So that's a milestone for him. So it's kind of, he makes me feel the safest out of all the quarterbacks just because of his legs and the fact that he needs 98 rushing yards to reach 1,000 and the fact that they need this game and the fact that they're playing the Bengals, right? Like that's everything aligns. Next is there's Deshaun Watson. Now they have nothing to play for, but they haven't had anything to play for, but they're playing Tennessee who has everything to play for. So the Titans need this game to get, they basically control their own destiny with a win, but they can still get in even if they lose, but there's a decent chance that they could miss out if they lose. So they need this win. They're going to be feeding Derrick Henry against this Texans team that can't tackle, right? Like if Henry doesn't go off this week, that'll be absolutely crazy. But anyways, Deshaun in comeback mode, we know how bad this Titans defense is against the pass. They're just horrendous. So this is a game that could certainly pop off if Deshaun and those guys are going. And David Johnson all of a sudden is back, right? He's back in our lives the last couple of weeks. Had a big game last week. Then there's Aaron Rodgers going for milestones. So currently has the third highest single season QBR of all time. Can tie Tom Brady for the most games with at least three passing TDs and is six touchdowns short of 50 on the year, and he's going for MVP. He's the leading MVP candidate, and he's spoken quite freely to the media about how he wants to get MVP this year. So
look at these milestones out of Kirkwood. I'm liking this.
Yeah, so that, I mean, that's a real milestone, right? But also this game is interesting because he's playing the Bears, who need, if they need this, they can get in the playoffs with a win here if they can upset the Packers. So and we know who I really want to take is my boy, Mr. Electric, right? David Montgomery. Electric.
Oh, God. Here we go. They need that game.
Yeah, they do. They're like 4.5-point dogs at this point, home dogs. Then there's Ryan Tannehill in that game that's so meaningful against Houston. Houston, it can't defend anything. Their secondary Swiss cheese. They can't defend the run either, but just the worst defense ever. I played AJ Green last week. I played some T. Higgins. Like I said, I would have taken Brett against them last week if he was out there and in pads and a uniform. Kirk what if Cousins. J-Mac
was the decision as well, though?
J-Mac's got the height. J-Mac, I would take.
What is J-Mac's height?
I don't know, but he's youth. He's got that youth right in him. So,
oh my God. Yeah, I'll still run.
J-Mac would have been a great play last week.
Bigger question is, can he fit in the cleats though? Cause we know he can't.
Right? Yeah,
That's the big question.
All right.
Kirk Cousins, Russell Wilson, potentially like Kirk Cousins has nothing to play for. But Dalvin Cook is out. How are they going to treat Cousins? Are they going to pass a lot? Is this a game they don't care about? I mean, I don't know. So he's in play. Justin Herbert has some milestones to go. He's trying to set the rookie record, right, for passing yardage. So I think he needs like 340 or something like that. I'll have to look that up. But he's there as a milestone guy, but there's a lot of options. So those are the guys that stand out to me at first. And then I got some sneaky plays that we can talk about in a minute, but how's it shaking out for you guys?
No, Kirkwood, I'm impressed, man. All those milestones, achievements, awards or whatever, I think is what I look for after I do my macro research, especially for week 17. Just follow Adam Schefter's tweets. Schefter is really good with doing like contract motivational stuff this week. So that's really key. So what I'm looking at, you brought up the Lamar Jackson needing 98 yards for 100. Justin Jefferson's on the threshold of breaking the all-time record for most receiving yards by a rookie wide receiver. He needs 90 yards. There's no doubt he knows in the organization knows about that too. So I expect him to break that record. So I'm right along with you with the Rodgers thing. I didn't know that he had the third highest season long QBR, but I know he's six touchdowns shy of 50, and six touchdowns is a lot, but I think the old man can get there. So just know that he's going to
another week and Brett's touting another six touchdown game from a quarterback.
But hey, it's in the play of because every single touchdown is going to come via his arm. So that's the best part about rostering Rodgers, is you know he's going to be chucking touchdowns. So yeah, and then there's some other like contract incentives. Again, follow Schefter's tweets. So Tambo, yeah, should we just start breaking down QBs or what?
We may as well. We already went through so many QBs. Yeah. We may as well just stay here. I'm with a few of the plays that you guys like. What, the motivation stuff, like Lamar needs it 98 yards. They need to win the damn game. I know it's my team and it's my, I want to get behind and get passionate about, but if he gets 96 and they win, he's going to be happy. I know he wants to get it. And everyone said he couldn't hit 1,000 again, but I'm not playing Lamar Jackson because of a milestone this week. I'm playing him because Baltimore needs to smash here. You don't need to stack him up. You can play him naked. It's fine. It's Cincinnati. We're talking about if we lose this game, I'm done. But this is a Lamar spot. I'm in on Lamar. I've been pretty good with him all season. It's obvious spot for him, but it's not just because of the milestone. I like it more than that. So he's a guy that I'm on. I like Kirk Cousins. I still like him. I don't care if they have something to play for. I think the idea here is that everyone knows Detroit gets smashed on the ground. And so the thoughts of Madison, which is going to be in, we'll get to that in a second when we get to running back, is there. But I do think that they still have a lot, like you talked about. The Jefferson one gets me a little more excited. You want to get your rookie receiver the number one spot. You want to get them that record. You want to have that under your belt. So I look for more like that where they're going to force it. Baltimore needs to win the game. It's a little bit different in my opinion, but again, it still makes it a great play. So it all works out in the end. I like this Vegas and Raiders, sorry, the Raiders and Broncos game, both Derek Carr and Drew Lock. I think that the thing that they do is they just give you very stackable situations where you can then start fitting all these studs. You know, you talked about Derrick Henry, who we'll get to in a minute, and like he's going to try and get to 2,000 yards himself. So we never know what's going to happen there. It's not DeHember anymore, but it's a spot that he could go off. So you need some money saving. You need some money you can save. I know that there's a lot of value out there, but you got to pick and choose your spots and try and focus on getting the plays in that you actually think are going to go off and get these big names in to your lineup. So I like that. What do you got, Kirkwood, for the sneaky ones? I know I just saw as we're recording this that Stafford will give it a go. So at 5,600, that might be sneaky if no one's on him. Oh, Trubisky, forget your electric running back. I like the quarterback there. That's the other one I got to mention before we pass it on. I like Trubisky. That's another guy I'm going to here.
Let me touch on Kirk Cousins quickly. So it's not only Justin Jefferson needs 90 yards to set the record, right, for the most receiving yards by a rookie wideout. It's also Thielen has some motivation too in there. So Thielen is three receiving touchdowns away from Randy Moss's single season record with the Vikings. So, and on top of that, Dalvin Cook is out. So this matchup is just insanely good against the Detroit Lions, who are, and it's in the dome. The Lions can't stop any, couldn't stop Brett. For sure couldn't stop Tambo running the option. He couldn't stop anybody here. So it's like, how much do we really think they're going to run? Are we buying in that they're just going to pass full throttle, go and try to get these guys, their records? Cause like that, that would be a nice double stack.
Cousins, it's an easy Jefferson double stack. That's I've talked about this in the past, but like the target tree situation, it's like over 50% of what they do with the passing game, or sometimes even higher, is between Thielen and Jefferson. And they're both are there. And you got even Irv Smith is cheap. Like love an onslaught here. Madison, just jam them all. I don't care if it doesn't work out. It's week 17.
You don't have to worry about weather in Detroit, which is nice.
Just run it back with Swift, Hawkinson, or Marvin Jones.
Yeah. Or just don't even run it back.
Or you want to get so crazy bad for the last week. You play a Mohamed Sanu.
When do the Vikings wave the white flag? They have nothing to play for. Right. I mean, they play that whole game, all starters. Or do they wait until they
I don't know. I think they do, but I think like the thing about it is it's almost like one of those situations where if you get three quarters out of it, it's probably a beatdown and these guys all have points. It's again, that's the other thing too. You gotta remember most of these lineups this week, as you see it every year in week 17, have at least one landmine in there. So yes, you might only see 17 for Jefferson. It's not what you wanted or expected, and you might have 24 from Thielen and 28 or 30 from Kirk Cousins, and there might be better stacks out there. There likely will be, but then do they have all the other right pieces versus this one just as easy to sort of lock in some points that you expect to get and then move on. Again, a portion.
Could they shut down? Could they shut down Cousins though at half? You know, that's the only concern.
I don't think so. Dalvin Cook's, you know, unavailable, right? Like, Kyle Rudolph's already out. You'd think they would just announce that if they wanted to cut him out, right? Like they're Thielen and Jefferson have records to play for, so they're going to want to be going. Alexander Mattison is coming in off of a concussion.
Can you explain Thielen's? What is Thielen's record again?
He can break Randy Moss's single season Viking record with three receiving touchdowns.
Oh wow! Okay.
And he can get two by halftime himself. You think it's not going down in the third when that's on the line? You know what I mean? Like that's very possible. That actually is nice as sort of a little leverage spot or a pivot. If you want to exclude Jefferson from a lineup, because Jefferson's getting all the talk with the rookie receiving record.
And people that don't know, Thielen went to a D3 college in Minnesota, was undrafted. He's a Minnesota homegrown boy. He does so many different community things around here. They want that for him for sure. So yeah. Just know a little bit about these people as human beings too. Like, I mean, he's a great dude. So of course they're going to go to battle and try to get that record for him. And then Jefferson, right? I mean, like an organization that can have the rookie receiving record. I mean, that looks awesome on Minnesota too. So yeah, when both motivations align, like I totally believe in that double stack right there.
I guess my sneaky play that, and it's, I mean, so basically I've been looking at different builds, right? And that was before Ty Montgomery entered my life here, but trying to go as cheap as possible at quarterback. And so I'm looking in that cheap range and like a guy. So I watched, did you guys watch Denver play last week against the Chargers?
The Chargers, yeah.
I mean, Locke is bad, right? He's not a great quarterback, but he's also going to sling it. And Judy dropped like pass after pass after pass after pass. But like,
it had to be five or six drops.
But he was open every freaking time. Mm-hmm. And they were just, they didn't stop. They were going, like, you would think like after the second drop, I'm like, okay, he's never going to go to Judy again. And like the next play, boom, right back to Judy. You know,
Who he reminds me of is Amari Cooper, you know, classic guy that could always get open, beats his guy. But Amari had the case of drops his first, how many years in the league too.
So, I mean, the price is right on like Drew Locke and like a Jerry Judy stack this week. So that's kind of my cheap guy at this point. I was eyeing. I have got nothing. You got anything on the Rams guy?
Oh, and either on Wolford? Yeah, he played in the, what was the league? AAF. Yeah, the AAF. So he was a stud in the AAF, obviously. I don't know. Like, to me, it's probably not like the biggest downgrade. Let's see. It looks like they're 3-point dogs and they were 2-point favorites as an open, something like that. So, I mean, it did move quite a bit. I don't know. 4,900. I'd probably just gamble on Mason Rudolph at 4,300 because Pittsburgh's wide receivers are just so much better. But I mean, we know what we're getting out of Mason Rudolph. It's not fun, but at 4,300, he doesn't need to do a whole lot. And the best part is with that wide receiver core, one of the most elite wide receiver cores in the league. I know we like to make fun of the drops and all the miscues and everything, but a lot of that is Roethlisberger's issue of not being able to create a play. You know, he's a statue in the pocket. At least Mason Rudolph can move around and make plays happen a little bit. I'm going to go to 4,300 Mason Rudolph all day if I'm punting at quarterback.
Yeah, I'm going to play a little Rudolph for the reason you said. And for me, it's just going to be, and we're mixing in stacks here now, but it's Juju and Deontay, just the target guys. I know Claypool's the touchdown dude and it can happen. And I love Mapletron being the Canadian side of it. But I think when Rudolph's in there, it's going to be short and sweet and very simple and just get it to the guys that move the chains, try and make this happen and move it along the best we can. I don't hate the Wolford thing, but you know, I did read an article said that, you know, the teammates, they love him. He shows up early. He stays late. He puts in extra reps. He works with anybody who will work with him. Like, of course he will, but you know, you should be doing that. But at the same time, not everyone has to do that or does that. That's just part of it. So I do think at 4,900, and we know the situation, you know, like with Robert Woods being the easy pairing, you could just go 1-1, and we haven't got to running back where I know Malcolm Brown is going to come up, but this to me would just be a way to, again, save a bunch of money in your lineup, do a small stack, Wolford to him, and just see if they can stack up for you and let you jam everything else in there. So I'm way more on Drew Lock with you, Kirkwood, but you know, as far as guys down here, but I like the call with there, Brett. I don't mind Wolford the one way. I'm giving you the exact way I'm using them. And then the only other guy you mentioned earlier that I was going to say was Watson that I forgot to go in on. He's a little bit less than Lamar. And one thing I do like about that is, you know, if you already like Henry, which we're going to go there next, is that Watson's like a comeback quarterback, right? We, you know, there's all the, how many times you see the Twitter tilt happens where everyone just can't stand Watson. He, you know, he's chalk. He goes out, he does absolutely nothing for two quarters, three quarters, and then somehow racks up 23, 25 DK points. We'd love for the day when he just puts up 40 or 50, like it seems like he can, but it really does set up well putting him with Derrick Henry. Derrick Henry does his job, smashes. We need this guy to come back. That's what he does, Watson. So I'm going to be setting up some of those builds as well in my mix.
Yeah, one other guy that I'll throw out there too, cheaper, looked really good of late, is Andy Dalton. You know, he had, what was it, 377 last week. But I think what's nice about this is offense is actually clicking. They have everything to play for. Whoever wins that Dallas Giants game would be in the current lead of the NFC East. And then, like, obviously, if Washington loses, then the winner of that game goes is the four seed, right? So they have every motivation to win that game. And the cool part is Andy Dalton decided to run five times last week. I mean, only 15 yards, but he knows what's on the line. And this is his second shot of like trying to lead a team to the playoffs, right? I mean, we kind of saw that he didn't do so hot in Cincinnati, but you know, like Dallas wants this game hard. So they're 1-point favorites at the Giants. The Giants offense looks so miserable, brutal. I like this spot for Dalton for sure. So at 5,600, give me Andy Dalton over Trubisky because the Packers defense is so legit that I think I'm a little bit off the train of Trubisky, even though I still do like Trubisky. Is A-Rob back? I think he is, right? Yeah, he is.
Yeah.
So, I mean, obviously I'm going to have love anytime Allen Robinson's on the field. I'll have love for Trubisky, and Trubisky's a running quarterback, so he can obviously get it done with his legs. So, I mean, I'm just kind of comparing, I guess, Dalton and Trubisky. I still would have Trubisky in my player pool.
Yeah, I like it.
Yeah, I don't mind it. So the thing about with Andy Dalton is just the fact that he's got like three in it, really solid receiving options in the passing game, as you mentioned. And, you know, he looked great against the Eagles. Now, their defense, the other positive of this is that their defense is completely banged up too. So they're going to be without Leighton Vander Esch, who's a key, you know, linebacker for them. He's kind of, you know, calls all, he's their kind of their defensive captain. They're also, they're missing a safety this week. Another one went down. They've just been having, you know, makeshift lineup all year, this team. So I would expect, you know, the problem is putting much faith in this Giants offense. So, and you know that they love to just grind that run. And I could definitely see Dallas also grinding the run back. So having a play volume concerns in this game. So I think it could break either way. I think there's a lot of positives that could make the passing game go off, but you would hope that the Giants need to put up a bunch of points too, which they can with the banged up defense. So I'm there, long story short. Anyways, let's like that's it, right, for quarterbacks.
I still want to hit on Baker Mayfield. I mean,
yeah, he was interesting.
You know, at 5,500, so $100 less than those two guys that we just talked about, has still Landry and Rashard Higgins at 4,500. He's still phenomenal. Just look at Higgins December of 2 years ago, the pre-OBJ years. He just crushed it. He might have had something like 400 yards and like five touchdowns in that December. This is just another great spot. Pittsburgh, again, looks like they're waving the white flag. So I don't expect a lot of their defensive studs to play in this game. Roethlisberger already been ruled out. So even though I do like Mason Rudolph, and I feel like their wide receivers are going to play for at least a half, maybe a full game. It's mainly a price point play. I think this is a sneaky like game stack here. Normally I try and stay away from interdivisional games, but I mean, it's mainly the price that's making me interested in these guys. And Baker at 5,500. Now Roth does say there's weather to kind of be worried about in Cleveland. So just kind of keep an eye on that, but Higgins going to be one of my favorite plays on the slate.
I like Higgins as the run back for the record, but anybody like Baker that can throw 57 times against the New York Jets and put up 10 DK points, I'm really not too interested there. I would go with your Mason Rudolph play for all the savings. And then I like the Higgins run back. Just pick it up in chunks with him versus having to have Baker to be your guy that goes off for you. I think that, you know, you could have Rudolph put up just as many and then use Juju and Deontay and you get yourself a nice little stack there.
So I didn't give enough to Justin Herbert, I don't think.
No, you didn't.
Enough love. So he needs, I think it's like 340 passing yards to set the rookie season record. And yeah, 340 passing yards. So definitely could see him doing that against the B team of the Chiefs in this one. So, and you get, you know, Keenan's going to be out again. So you get Mike Williams again, you get if you want to play the cheap, which everyone called free square Parham last week, tight end, 2,900. Definitely not a free square, but certainly in play at that price. And I mean, there's a bunch of cheap receiver options that you can play, any of them. But I think Herbert is definitely going to get that 340 passing yards.
Yeah, and I don't know how much we talked about the 7K guys, but like the Tannehills, the Bradys, obviously we love Rodgers. I assume everybody likes Rodgers. Deshaun Watson. What's your play with the 7K up? Like who's your number one guy? For me, it'd be Rodgers one, but then Brady probably two. Tampa Bay has everything to play for here. I know Mike Evans is right on the 1K threshold. You know, in Atlanta, again, this game is going to be in Tampa Bay, so we expect good weather. Atlanta hasn't had anything to play for, but Atlanta's like that perfect team to play because their pass run ratio is such a high percentage of pass that I really like, you know, just a play increase for Tampa Bay here. So Tom Brady, I know it sucks to pay $7,200 for a non-running quarterback, but a quarterback that I feel like I can pencil in for 300 yards plus here. So I don't know. I mean, I still want like way more shares of Rodgers than Brady, but I think Brady's 100% in play. How do you guys rank that Tambo, the 7K guys?
Rodgers, Lamar. Well, I don't really rank them, but the three I'm using are Lamar, Watson, and Rodgers. That's the three that I'm using.
Me, I'm adding Herbert to that list.
Yep, I agree. Herbert's in there for me
too. I would probably play Herbert over Brady. I feel Brady's like a little chasey. I get it. You're right. It's definitely a possibility. We just saw what he can do in a half and then get shut down and still have everything out there. It's just there's other plays. And if you go down, like I said, I still like other guys below too. So I can't play them all. I would just side with Herbert if I was going right at that number or even Tannehill. But yeah, the ones I love are Rodgers, Lamar, and Watson.
Is Keenan Allen out this week? Already been ruled out?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure.
Okay. So that kind of hurts, obviously, Herbert. But
I think it helps. It helps just the pricing of you're getting the
stack
options
becomes cheaper. Yeah, I was just going to say, I like that you can get like Williams and Parham if you want to get the flop leg. You can get guys like Jalen Guyton. There's other, you know, Tyron Johnson. There's other guys you can use there that make, again, that stack cheap with the price of Herbert, which, again, I like his chances. I think it's, you know, he's the rookie of the year, so we're going to see it. But
you got those right. We got those auto rookies is what we got, you know, those Herbert rookies.
Card values are going up on Herbert with this being announced for sure.
Oh, did you see Kirkwood? Who did you flame the other day about their rookie card?
It was a joke. I said, sell those rookies, Luca rookies while you can.
I love it.
So basically if the Bucks beat the Falcons, they're the number five seed, but it's the difference between number five and number six seed. So basically the reason to win this game would be they get to play the Washington football team, Cowboys or Giants, as opposed to the Saints Seattle. I guess it's a big difference, but I also wonder, do they really think about that stuff that much?
Oh yeah. 100% they do.
They feel like they're going to beat whoever you put in front of them.
He's just
like
Tom Brady's been made fun of all season. He's been shown his critics. He's not writing down on the whiteboard, I need to win this week so I can play the NFC East. That's an added bonus for sure. But he's
they're
going
be a touchdown. They're going to be a touchdown favorite versus whoever wins the NFC East. And they're going to be a dog versus Seattle. They're going to be a dog versus Seattle.
He cares. I'm saying that's not why he's going out to play good. He's going to play good because it's Tom Brady. And he wants to prove himself either way. It's not because if he wins, he gets this. That's the added bonus.
Okay, so like maybe he doesn't, but the coaches for sure do. The GM
everyone
for
does.
Sure
of
wants
course
him.
They do. Any Bucks fan, any Bucks player, it matters. But I'm saying you're making too much of that's why he's the guy here, and that's why they're going to go and do it. Lamar Jackson's going to win the game this week because he needs to win the game. If he gets 98 yards in the process, so be it. Justin Herbert's going to win because he wants to win and continue to prove why he's the rookie of the year. Not just because he gets the, does he want the 340 yards? Absolutely. Yes. Is it going to be the reason he has a good game this week? No, he's going to go out because.
Yeah. No, you know what? Same with Tom Justin Brady. Herbert, that's all they have. Like, right. Like they don't.
But we're also looking for a little extra motivation, a little extra juice, right? That's why we're putting out these milestones. That's why we're talking about the macro.
It's already
stuff.
There though. It's already there.
But I feel like Brady and the coaching staff, I don't think that I just wonder how much they really care whether it's.
But if we know, like, hey, an extra 50 yards unlocks $1 million bonus, then we care.
All right, so we're going to get into that. So we're going to get into that right now. So let's talk about Russ. Seahawks can finish anywhere between number one and number three seed. I mean, the number one is certainly desirable, but the number two and three doesn't really matter, right? It's basically the same thing. So in order for them to get the number one seed, they have to win and have both the Packers and Saints lose, which is very possible, right? Because the Packers are playing the Bears, who are in a must-win situation. And I think the Bears are going to put up a fight in this one. And then the Saints now don't have a running back, right? Like they don't – their team is just – I mean, I don't know much they're going to
– Is that spread still on the board?
It was. It's dropped down to like 4.5 or something.
Wow, it actually they opened
five and a half, five and
four,
a half.
Yeah, and up to five.
Yeah, but it was up at like 6.5, 7.5, like seven before.
The over under has just really gone down from opened at 51 and it's at 46.5. So it's just everybody's.
So anyway, so I'm wondering how much Russ will be used in this game. But I also do know, speaking of incentives, that Tyler Lockett can get like an extra 200K if he collects 46 receiving yards. Another 100K if he scores two receiving touchdowns. Now, 200K and 100K to these guys is nothing, right? Like it's like a fine almost. So I don't know how much that plays into it. It's not like we're talking like $1 million bonus or whatnot.
Do you think they have talks with their agent like during the week, and their agent's like, hey, buddy, just don't want to let you know that these are your incentives, you know, your statistical incentives. Do you think that conversation happens with their players?
I mean, sure, maybe, and Tyler Lockett probably knows, but does Tyler Lockett telling like Pete Carroll and telling Russell Wilson, are they talking about it? No, for sure.
Well, there's two factors to it too, just to add on to this, is that one, sometimes it's more pressure on the person. Like it's only 38 yards, but now maybe he makes that drop on that 40 yard catch and then that's in his head and it's terrible. So while you played him for incentive, it fucks him over. And then at the other side of it is we've seen this plenty. We've been around enough times to see this where they pull a guy. Ingram needs one touchdown at the goal, you know, to make this bonus. And all of a sudden they're pulling him out and in comes Gus Edwards and everyone's like, well,
that's
gotta
be a GM move. That's gotta be a GM move.
For sure it is. They're not wanting to pay them. So you don't know. And that's what I'm saying. It's tough to, I love the idea of it. I agree with you wholeheartedly that we want some extra incentive here and there, but like Tyler Lockett just wants to have a good game. He's had a shitty season. It hasn't looked, he started strong. He has a couple boom games for
sure. He's been hurt.
He's been off and on. Exactly. He doesn't, 200K is not going to make or break his lifestyle right now. Does he want it? Of course. Everybody wants 200 grand if you're going to throw it down their lap. It's a new car. It's a new whatever. Maybe buy something for his mom. Who knows? My point is he wants to have a good game no matter what. Right?
Yeah. So one thing, One thing I would throw out there too is I'm looking for almost ceiling incentives, right? So that's why I did throw out the Rodgers 6 touchdowns for 50. That's a ceiling. I'm not looking for a 46 receiving yards for 1,000.
Like that better. Like use Thielen.
Yeah,
like
but, on your, but the, I do the second like part better. Of that, the second part of that was 2 receiving touchdows for another 100K. Not, okay. not but like 100K a is nothing to these guys. It is nothing.
It's not enough.
I mean, it's Lamar nothing to Jackson. J-Mac. It's nothing to J-Mac, you know, let alone Tyler Lockett. You know what I mean?
Pick that up in a third place best ball right quick. You don't need that two touchdowns. You don't even got to score 2 touchdowns for that.
You didn't even have to leave the basement. You know what I mean? It's like,
yeah.
Lamar Jackson needed 98 yards. That's a ceiling, right? That's a ceiling.
Well, he's a billionaire. Yeah. Kirkwood would be the penthouse, not the basement.
Yeah. I don't know. Maybe he got he's sent down there.
He's not worth a billion. Come on, guys.
All right. Running let's, back. Incentives, running back. The Derrick Henry, so 220 yards, is it? 223 yards? What is it? Something
for 2K?
Yeah, for 2K. Does that matter to him?
Oh, yeah. Daddy wants that. Daddy wants that for sure, dude.
I would say, you know, this is where the one point I did just give to Brett back there, because I've been hating on it the whole show, but is that where he just mentioned a key point. These incentives for the unlocked ceilings. Tyler Lockett making 100 grand? No. Thielen getting 3 touchdowns, pride, but to get Randy Moss's record, that matters. And if they get him one or two early, you know damn well they're going after the third one. So you are chasing a ceiling with that incentive. The thing about Henry, we got CJ 2K, another tight, you know, you got the situation where he's going to want this and he already has a slam dunk matchup. But again, are we really playing him for the 2K, or is that just the narrative piece that everybody doing content has to put in there because he's in the best smash spot? They want to get this, you know, he's going to get a good game regardless.
It's a must win against a team that can't tackle.
Right. So why
would it possible to tackle? And it's in a dome. Like, you know what I mean? Where he can get going, he can get going downhill and then he's out. You know?
What was the total yards for CJ to 2K? Let's figure that one out too. Cause maybe they go for that one. If he's in
the point is the ceiling's there though. Like you said, right. That's really what it comes down to.
I think the 2K is just, I don't think that really matters to him, but. Maybe. Anyway, I just
2006.
Think
2006.
Yep.
It's in the 2009.
It's the must win, and it's the fact that they're playing Houston.
Play. Yeah, he's fine. Play him.
Now the other guy, another must win situation is the Colts again in the playoffs, playing a horrendous defensive team in Jacksonville. Is Jonathan Taylor. So Jonathan Taylor has, you know, saw 18 rushing attempts last week. Only had one target, but he has taken over this backfield, you know, 16 rushes the week before, 20 before that. The guy has looked explosive coming down. I wouldn't call him electric quite yet, but he's looked explosive. So we'll give him that much. But he's going to be extreme chalk, so we got to talk about him. There's Malcolm Brown situation although they're still flirting with the idea that Cam Akers hasn't been ruled out yet. But I think there's no way he's playing personally. I just don't see it. I think they're just coach speak trying to throw off the opponent. But who knows? But if Malcolm Brown, if it's his backfield, complete backfield at 4,300 in a matchup against in a must-win game in a matchup against Arizona where they don't have Goff, you can expect a high workload at least. How efficient will he be? Who knows? But probably not the most efficient. He's not the most efficient back, but I think he's capable and certainly can get in the end zone. Right. Melvin Gordon is playing you know, that's another thing. So he's taken over the backfield too, because Philip Lindsay's out. They did use some Royce Freeman last week, and then they used Bellamy or somebody. What was that guy's name? They like interjected this new guy into which made me angry, but for Denver, but he did have 16 rushing attempts. You know, he had no targets, which just blew my mind. Anyways, but should project for a big workload again against this the defense that's just been awful, dead last in DVOA versus the run all season. Also has nothing to play for is the Las Vegas Raiders. So he's in play. Some other guys, I don't know. I mean, Nick Chubb in a must-win game, that kind of sounds interesting to me. DeAndre Swift, I think they're going to be trailing in this one. You know, I think Detroit's going to be trailing in everyone. But, you know, certainly he's a guy that makes sense in a bring back in a game where they're trailing. Josh Jacobs is no one's going to play, I don't think. You know, and that there's some, I guess we'd have to make some guesses on how much will he be utilized in this final game. Do they rest him up as a key piece going forward, or do they still roll him out for big usage? I don't know. What are your guys' thoughts?
To me, I think the running backs are very easy today. I have eight queued up, and I probably will stay within this eight. Obviously, news still matters. And it looks like Jimeno kind of updated a little bit of percent ownership after the tie news. So obviously, Ty Montgomery at 4K, Mike Boone at 4K, Rodney Smith at 4K, Ty Johnson at 4.3. Now, between those four, you're going to have to do a little bit of research. And a lot of it's going to be ownership, right? If Ty Montgomery is, we got him at 34.5%, I'm out. No way. I'll gladly take Mike Boone for lower ownership. I'll gladly take Rodney Smith for lower ownership, or Ty Johnson for lower ownership. Just look at Mike Boone. I think it was week 17 last year. Let's see. It was week 12-29. So maybe that was week 16. He had 17 for 148 and a touch with two catches and 12 yards. This is perfect spot. If you want to do that crazy Minnesota Detroit stack, you can bring it back with DeAndre Swift. But the expensive guys, yes, Henry, Jonathan Taylor could be the highest scoring running back this week. And then DeAndre Swift. I think those three stand out on an island. Oh, and I didn't include Malcolm Brown at 4,300. So
yeah, I was going to say, you left out the highest owned guy down there before the Montgomery news.
Yep. So Malcolm Brown and Ty Johnson are both at 4,300. And then you got the 4K boys at Rodney Smith, Boone, and Ty. And then the expensive guys, Henry, Taylor, and Swift. I don't think, I mean, you'd have to really highly, highly convince me outside of those, what is that? Is that eight? Yeah, out of those eight running backs. I think that's where I'll be.
I've got some, but Tambo, give him some.
I like the Chubb one you mentioned earlier. So Henry's the obvious one for me up at the top. I like Chubb. Just like you said, there's some injuries on the Pittsburgh side as well. I think he's be able to do his thing, get downhill with it. I'm good with him there. And like I said, it works in those stacks. If you're not using Higgins on the other side of it, if you want to run those Mason Rudolph stacks or just use him as himself, you can use him also with the with the Browns defense. Right, combine those if you want to have a secondary stack there and just go against Rudolph. Don't forget, this is the rematch where Myles Garrett smacked him in the head and got suspended and everything like that. They're going back at it again here. So,
oh, yeah, I didn't even think about that.
You want to talk about incentive? You want to talk? Yeah. Give your man Mason Rudolph some incentive. He's got to
last, he's still gonna have a dent in his head from that.
Yeah, like, regardless of what he does, he's got to get him back. So, we'll see what he's doing. But there's that. I think Eckler could be interesting in your Herbert play there. He definitely fits that mold going against, like you said, a Kansas City team that waved the flag there. Jonathan Taylor, who you mentioned, you know, as a good little mini stack, secondary stack with him and some of the guys we'll get to at wide receiver with Cole, Chenault, those guys. So I think that one is interesting. Who else here, man? Just try and bang out a few.
Can we just like grade the two 4,300 guys and then the three 4K guys? I don't know. We probably need to rank those guys.
Well, yeah.
Like out of that group, who do you like the best?
Well, it's going to be right now probably Montgomery because he just fits in at 4K and the news just came. Like, it's who do they have? Nobody else there. I got faith in that squad. I think that's going to be the spot. I had, just so you know, before, I have Malcolm Brown over Ty Johnson just because we never see anything out of the Jets as far as, you know, as far as running backs go. So it's not like fading the Jets running backs all season wouldn't really have hurt you. And I don't think it will here either. And it's in New England against New England. They still talk about incentive, had the worst season of their life, have to at least try and show something. It shouldn't be that hard against the Jets. Obviously, the Jets are going to try for three in a row now that they gave everything away with these last couple wins. But I would still say that. And then in going down, I think it's still Montgomery. And then Rodney Smith is fine on the other side of that game. I'm not with you on Boone because I don't like it. It's again, it's like second half play. It's like, super, this is the tourney takes pod, but like, you know, you need a lot of stuff to go that way for that play to be the guy, versus there's so many other options and so many other ways to build that I don't need him in my range. I get why you're doing it. It makes sense, but it's just the guy that's at the bottom of the list for me.
He was a stud in December last year, though. I mean, this is a similar spot. They were out of the playoffs.
Sweet, sweet sample size, I know, but like, you know, one game he did it before. NFL. I don't care. There's other guys. There's other guys, right? That's what I'm saying.
All right. Let me touch on Ty Johnson. So we've seen two games out of Ty Johnson where he went off. He went off against the Las Vegas, which was a great matchup, right? When Gore went down, he got the workload. He got 22 carries, over 100 yards. He got a touchdown. He had two targets in that game. Then we've seen a different game where he got six targets. So this guy's a very efficient in the passing game when he's getting targets. And so the Patriots run defense is just atrocious. As someone who's been watching the Pats closely, it's just the biggest train wreck. So I definitely like Ty Johnson a lot this week, and I'm really close between him and Malcolm Brown. Now
I love it. Belichick. I love how like Belichick in his interviews will just say, this is the worst team I've ever had. Right. Like, and then I don't know if that's extra motivation for them to come back and, you know, play really well, or if they're just going to wave the white flag.
The only motivation I see. So here's the thing with New England. I see motivation on one person and one person only, and that's Cam Newton. Now he got benched. He's got to be pissed for getting benched in that game. But Stidham was awful. So Belichick said to the media that he would imagine that Cam starts again in week 17. Is he going to bench him again after putting Stidham in and Stidham was so bad? Or is he going to let Cam play his last game out in New England? This is going to be Cam's last game in New England. They're not going back there. Cam is going to be playing for trying to get a job on some team at some point and show that he still has anything left. So if Belichick doesn't sit him, I can see Cam doing, you know, and I can also see some of the players rallying around Cam, trying to send, you know, give him a good game, such as Damir Bird, such as Jacoby Myers, who he developed a connection with. I don't know. So we'll see how that shakes out. I know that's kind of the gross play. No one's going to play him because he just got benched, and you don't know if you're only going to get a half out of him, a quarter out of him. But I'm inclined to think that he ends up playing this last game. They play competitive. It's a winnable game. And he could be a sneaky millionaire maker winner this in his last game with New England. That's my take anyway. But I got a couple more running back plays.
Hey, before you do that, why don't you rank the 4K guys, or at least what guys?
That's what I basically did. I said Brown and I'm neck and neck with Brown and with Ty Johnson. Okay.
The 4K guys you don't like?
I guess I have Montgomery because he's the only one, so he's probably number one. But
no, Boone and Roddy Smith.
Boone, I'm not in on Boone whatsoever. Rodney Smith's fine, sure. Tough matchup against the Saints, but should get a good workload. So also, like, what are they going to do? How much Curtis Samuel? Like, how's Carolina going to play this? Just normally, right? Like, they should be. Like,
They've been out of the playoffs for a while.
Yeah. I think Curtis Samuel could get some carries in this one too. A little bump up to the carries, and, you know, plus his receiving work. So I don't know. Those are the ones, but the guys that we didn't talk about. So there's a guy, Jeff Wilson, who just put up 30 fantasy points last week, 180 yards against Arizona. And you know, no one's really talking about this week against Seattle. I know Seattle's been a pretty tough team to actually run on, and they've done the pass, but like San Francisco's not passing. They're running the ball, and Jeff Wilson is the guy that they feed, and I think he's explosive. So I like him. Miles Gaskin is another guy that, you know, took back over the backfield, 14 carries last week. I think we can expect even more, but was really good in the passing game with 5 receptions for 82 yards and 2 touchdowns. Now benefits probably with Fitzpatrick at the helm. Do we know what they're doing with this in this last game again with Tua and Fitz?
Oh, Fitz is out. Fitz got COVID. So he's out. Yeah. So he's not.
So it's Tua. Yeah.
There's interesting things too. Like if
it's a must-win game.
If the Saints play on a Saturday, Kamara can't play in that wildcard game. He can only play if it's a Sunday. So you would think the NFL would do the Saints a favor by scheduling them on Sunday.
But they hate the Saints. So They probably won't, and we'll probably get screwed. I don't know. I'd love to see Kamara play. I want to see the best teams play with their best players, but one of those random years and one of those things, right? You just never know, hoping that they do the right thing and it ends up on Sunday for that reason. But isn't that weird, though, that now today, wouldn't the rest of their core that just was found out today can't play no matter what now? Like, doesn't that mean Latavius Murray and the rest of the guys? So imagine if they do have it on Saturday, they've got nobody.
They're from contract tracing, from being close. They haven't tested positive.
Yep, that's correct. That's correct.
Got you now. That makes sense. I was going to say, that would have been bad, but yeah.
Mm-hmm. The whole back.
But they may test positive, you know. And then we haven't talked about Chris Carson at all. What's his name still?
Hyde?
Yeah, is he out?
He's questionable.
Still questionable. Yeah.
Well, if he's out, and basically it's just him and Rashad Penny left, and right. You know, they're working Penny back in, you know, with very small usage. So you would think that they would just feed Chris Carson a ton, and doesn't seem like he's getting much love. I haven't heard him talked about at all.
Yeah. I mean, I can go there. I'll probably stick within the 8 running backs that I kind of just went off of. So yeah, I'm sure all these other guys are going to be very low owned.
And then, we didn't touch on Kenyon Drake because Edmonds going down. Is Edmonds out this week?
I think he is.
Still.
He's also questionable still.
So those are situations to monitor, right? Because no one's talking about these guys. And if Edmonds is a game time decision and he's out, I mean, giving Drake a full workload in a must win game sounds pretty appealing to me, especially if they'll utilize him in the passing game like Edmonds. I don't know. All right, let's take it over to wide receiver.
Yep.
All right, Tambo, lead us off. We've got value plays galore, right? We've got like Laviska Shenault. We've got Josh Reynolds stepping in as the firm number two wide receiver because Cooper Kupp is out. We've got like the resurgence of Jerry Jeudy getting targets. He's just got to catch them this week. You know, there's Keelan Cole. There's like a bunch of cheap wide receivers that we can play. Then we have obviously at the top, we have Davante Adams, who's just ridiculous, you know, efficiency numbers this season just gone on. I mean, man, it's tough to not click his name when you're building a lineup. Justin Jefferson, you mentioned about the records. We've got plenty of other record guys. We've got Thielen we can use. We've got DK Metcalf, whose price is down to 7,300. So we've got no shortage of top end guys, and then we've got a bunch of cheap ones. Who's standing out to you?
For me, it's going with my quarterbacks, like basically tying everything into that. So as far as the value guys goes, it's all those Denver guys between, you know, who you got down. Jeudy, like you mentioned, 4,200. Deshaun Hamilton, Tim Patrick, like all these guys can get off in that game. I think that's a fine spot to go. I like the Jacksonville guys I mentioned earlier, Shenault, Keelan Cole. Those guys are good value plays. You know, there's a lot of guys you can use. And then at the top, it's, you know, Adams is fine, obviously, right there at 92. I like Adams as a flex play as well, just because I think, you know, a lot of people use him. But how can you be a little bit different? Maybe if you use him instead of Derrick Henry, that's a way you can go about it. It's definitely possible you can use them both. But I'm saying you could also have a spot where you're trying to get a little bit unique that way. Brett, I want to kick it over to you just for 1 second here because you got all the stuff right up, either up top or in front of you with the motivation factors. But did you mention anything about Josh Allen and Stephon Diggs for Buffalo?
I didn't, unless Kirkwood did. I don't know any incentives there.
Yeah, I did. I wasn't sure if there was or not. I couldn't remember. I don't think they have anything really to go after here, but
they're having huge years. So
Stephon Diggs is the current wide receiver yard leader.
Yeah, and I think isn't it like Hopkins is the only guy that can catch him is like 75 yards back. So I think they are going to want to.
The list of players within 200 yards is Hopkins, Adams, Ridley, Metcalf, and Justin Jefferson.
Yeah. Again, don't think that much. They have nothing else to really play for. I think the conversation is, does Allen even make it past half?
That's a big question with Buffalo.
So I'm not in on that as a stack or anything. I just was wondering because I don't think anyone is playing Stephon Diggs. I'm seeing like the lowest ownership on anyone I've ever seen in this range. And it's like the main reason is because of that. But I think there is at least again, what's the ceiling there? Is there a buffer there on that motivation factor versus the others? I don't know, right? Do they want to, do they care that much for that one? I don't know. I'm indifferent on that one. Adams, we still love. We mentioned it. Allen Robinson, like you said, anytime he's on the field. Jefferson, Thielen can definitely get behind some Metcalf at that price, right? If no one's going to be on him at 7,300, I do like that. That's really cheap for Metcalf. And then AJ Brown is just the natural leverage play to the Henry lineups. I'm sure you can play Tannehill, Henry, and AJ Brown, but it'd be a way to separate and get a little bit
Corey Davis.
Yeah, Corey Davis is a little bit, you know, $1,000 cheaper. I don't hate it. That'd be, again, if you're stacking up Tannehill, that's the way to go and just get off the Henry game and just let everybody else go after it.
Yep, totally agree with you guys. I mean, I think we've already talked about the Minnesota double stack, both in play. Love the AJ Brown leverage idea, throwing Corey Davis into that leverage. Ridley's been a beast, man, with no Julio. I don't see why not here in Tampa Bay, where you probably don't have to worry about weather. Devontae is Devontae. Mid-tier guys I'm looking at, DJ Moore, Marvin Jones, both in play. Mike Williams, going back to that well, right? The cool part about Mike Williams, if you want to do the Herbert to Mike Williams stack, you bring it back with Mecole Hardman. All the KC guys are sitting out, so it's going to be Mecole Hardman week for sure. Rashard Higgins, have a lot of love for him. In Buffalo, again, team motivation is not going to be there for Buffalo. So a guy like Gabriel Davis should be getting a lot of run. Expect him to lead the team here in snaps and routes run.
And that's what it was too, by the way. It was Beasley out. I couldn't remember the other thing. Is if again, does it matter?
So it's Beasley out. John Brown has been activated. So now we don't know how the Bills, let's just touch on the situation. We're all just assuming, right, that the Bills have nothing to play for, but they must win or have the Steelers lose to clinch number two seed, right? Also,
Steelers are waving the white flag, so.
But yeah, but like crazy stuff happens. They both play at the same time. And, you know, like upsets happen all the time in the last week of the NFL. And this coach has always talked about how important it is to be playing their best football going into the playoffs and whatnot. So I don't think we really know that they're just going to wave the white flag here and bench everyone. I think it's certainly in the range of outcomes, but I think it's possible that they play and like, and some of these guys have good games. I don't know. I'm just not so positive that they're going to actually wave the white flag because I haven't seen any. Like, it's complete speculation that they are.
Yeah, I've got to think about that one some more. That's why I brought it up. I did think it was a little bit more important than maybe just writing it off completely. It is worrisome, but I guess for large field stuff, exactly, you'd want to put right, something
hold on.
In
here we go. Just to give you an idea, Mike Tomlin will sit many key starters in this season's final week. Tomlin said Tuesday that he's not overly concerned about players keeping their rhythm heading into the postseason. He's going to worry more about health and sit plenty of starters.
Yeah, that's Tomlin.
Yep, and that's the guy that you want to know.
No, I mean, I'd like to know how they're going to react.
Well, right. So if Pittsburgh's waving the white flag, they're
but that doesn't mean they're definitely
they're 10-point dogs. I mean, okay. They look.
I mean, it
terrible.
Could be. The thing is, it can be a halftime situation. You're right for sure. But I'm saying like that. I'm with Kirkwood on the other side of that. Is like before the game going in, you can't just say, well, Pittsburgh's doing this, therefore they're going to lose. Therefore, we're not going to play our guys. We got to at least go for a half, see what happens, stay healthy, stay in rhythm. And then what if they look up at the scoreboard and it's 14-7 or even 21-7? How can you say, yep, we're good, 2-touchdown lead with a half to go, let's pack it in? Like if it's 31-0 at the half, then yeah, I could see that. But how often do we see that in the NFL? It's just not.
And Dolphins have everything to play for. They must win to clinch the playoff berth versus Buffalo. So they're going hard.
Yeah.
Could be they're going hard for sure.
Yeah, they're going hard. So I'm yeah, long story short, I just don't know. I really don't know. I mean, it's speculation.
Yep. So just the way I would break it down though is Gabriel Davis will probably lead the wide receivers in snaps and routes runs. So and then like
now no, going... but why? Why?
What about Isaiah McKenzie?
Yeah, why so Davis is like a starter. He's a key starter on this team. Mm-hmm. So why is he gonna be the backup?
Sure, just a younger guy. And like, again, Gabriel Davis is like the wide receiver 3 or 4 normally, right? I mean, they're obviously what's wrong with Cole? Is that an injury related, or are they just resting him?
Yeah, he got hurt in the last game.
Okay. I'm with you. I think one of the things, though, too, that is just in general thoughts that as we went through it here for people to think about is around the main narrative that I find comes out in week 17 is always like rookie's role. And there's just not enough, like, you know what I mean? It's some teams have other things in mind. We talked about guys like Thielen. That's not a rookie. That's an incentive different, you know, that you talked about earlier, where there's a different reason altogether. And the assumption that just always rookies. I just did the showdown show with Chop, and we were talking about, you know, is it going to be Rager on Sunday night because he's the rookie and there's guys out and everything, but it hasn't been yet. And there's been plenty of injuries along the way. It just hasn't worked out. What if it's Ertz, where they want to showcase him before the season's over, cause he's the guy that they didn't want to pay. They've got Goddard, who had a great season, et cetera, et cetera. There's not always this. And I think, to be honest, that's how the general public looks at things every single time this happens in week 17. And there is other guys that can get there. So I think it's more interesting.
You have Diggs, Brown, and Beasley. That's their starting three wide receivers, right? Then you have Gabriel Davis.
No, yes.
Gabriel Davis, McKenzie, and Andre Roberts as their 4, 5, 6. They're probably going to try to get a little bit of work for John Brown, right? Because he's coming back active, and they look great when John Brown's played. At least there's a lot of high correlation with Allen and Brown on the season for sure. But go ahead, Kirkwood.
I think Davis has taken John Brown's spot. I don't think they can trust John Brown at all at this point in the season, based on what they've seen, how he's been injured all season for the most part, off and on. And,
well, I'm pretty sure it's just a health
thing. And he's coming off the COVID list.
Yeah, it's just a health thing.
So we don't know. Also, there's crazy COVID stuff going out. Like a lot of the college players at all, like 30% of them that have heart problems right now. Like there's so many like unknowns with COVID going on, but I don't know. To me, it seems like Gabriel Davis has earned a real role within this team, and so he would make for like a rest candidate. But maybe I'm wrong. I'm just like trying to play devil's advocate.
It's all speculation. That's what we're saying. Like, I think the biggest thing that came out of the conversation is that Buffalo could be interesting because they can't just assume that Pittsburgh's an L here based on who they're sitting, because
It's very obvious that's a very cloudy situation. There's not too many cloudy situations, I think, in week 17, but that's obviously one of them.
Yes, that's what I think we found out here.
Richie James at 3,100, I kind of like. If we're talking about pump plays, I mean, Richie James, I'm kind of done with the Jets wide receivers outside of Jameson Crowder. But Breshad Perriman for 3,200, Josh Reynolds for 3,200. I mean, who's throwing them the ball? Like, that's the thing, right? So Richie James at 3,100, probably my favorite pump play.
I like Hamilton at 3K for Denver, but I like that stack, so it makes sense. Mm-hmm. But I think it was 9 targets last week or something ridiculous, and 77 yards, 5 catches. So I like that one going back to it. There's a few guys down here. There's no like obvious this is your guy versus now we have that with Ty Montgomery at 4K, whether it works out or not. I'm saying that's what people will be saying and feeling. So, you know, there's other guys down here. There's a lot more choice. You mentioned Richie James, Perryman, Mims, Callaway for New Orleans. You know, there's a bunch of different guys. Gabe Davis, who you just talked about, Isaiah McKenzie's down there, you know, Guyton Johnson for LA, just a lot of guys you can go to down here. So I think it really, to me, it's always correlate and get it stacked up and then get different elsewhere, even if you think it's going to be popular. But most of these guys, just throwing them on as the third man in, will already make you unique enough where you can just start pounding in the rest of the good plays that we have more of a feel about in these higher price points.
I think another cloudy situation. So a lot of the NFC is going at the 4:25 Eastern line. So you have the Packers Bears game. You also have the Saints game at Carolina. And to me, the Saints are a very cloudy situation of how they're going to handle, especially their COVID situation, right? We could get a full game out of Ty Montgomery, or maybe they just, you know, they roll him out there. He's mainly like their special teams all-star for the Saints. So that's another cool thing with Ty Mont. You might get a kickoff return touchdown out of him too. weirdly enough. But a guy like Marquez Callaway, I think, makes a lot of sense. Emmanuel Sanders just came out and talked about how he's a bring your lunch bucket every single day. Callaway is a young kid. And obviously with no Ty Montgomery in like the depth anymore, they don't have, it seems like Sanders is going to be a go. Callaway should be their wide receiver two. Who knows who their wide receiver three is going to be. They've been so middled. Obviously Michael Thomas is still on the IR. Thomas, I think, is ready to come back wild card, but don't quote me. I think this is his last week out, because it's a 3-week IR. So interesting spot, but yeah, I do like Callaway also.
They should just make Taysom their running back.
Yeah, hey, they probably
they're going to do unique things with him for sure.
You said there, like, get some different lineup builds that don't have the cheap running back in there for sure. Like, I just was messing around, had like a Chubb, Jonathan Taylor, Henry lineup, and it looks amazing. And it's got those three running backs instead of even worrying about those 4K guys. In cash, different story, right? You probably can time on, hope for the best and risk it. But there's lots of nice lineups you can build with some of these stacks that we talked about that look great on paper, and see what they do.
All right, last, write down this list of names. These are guys all close to 1K receiving yards on the season. Brandon Cooks, Corey Davis, A.J. Brown, T. Higgins, Robert Woods. So if you want even more incentives, if you think these guys care about
Keenan that. Allen's out, right? So we don't have to worry about that.
Yep. All right. Tight end.
Hey, did you say both Corey Davis and A.J. Brown?
Yeah, so it's like complete, wow. Like everybody has stuff. Everybody Boom. Has their own.
There's your double stack leverage play right there.
Yeah, but that's back to what I was getting you on earlier, Brett. You're my boy, but as I said, do you want them to jam Derrick Henry for 220 in this rookie or the record at rushing?
We can do both. We can do both.
Or that. Then do the onslaught. Build the onslaught for sure.
I'm not saying do the onslaught. What I'm saying is you run five lineups. One of them you have the Davis AJ Brown one, and then the other ones you have Derrick Henry. I mean, like,
okay, yeah, whatever, I'm all for that.
But cover both scenarios.
Yeah.
All right, tight end George Kittle gonna be somewhat popular. I'm not so sure. I mean, he was looking like a beast when he played. He was on less snaps than normal last week. Had a mediocre game. Almost got 100 yards though. Four catches, five targets, 92 yards. We just don't – Kelce looks like Kelce's not going to be playing. That would be great because he still has, like, records to, you know, to go for. But I think – I mean, they'd already waved the white flag and they're sitting him. But Evan Engram in a must-win game is probably going to be popular at 3,700. He's been banged up with his foot, but he should be available, ready to play this week. Had a decent game last week in a tough matchup against the Ravens. Did get 10 targets, 7 receptions, 65 yards, did not find the end zone. When he finds the end zone, then that's, you know, that's all he really needs to do for 3,700. Noah Fant, Darren Waller is probably the closest thing to Travis Kelce that we have on the slate. How hard does he go in this game? I don't know. I really don't know. I don't know. I want to pay 7,100, but I know that we can pay 7,100 with all this value that's opened up across that wide receiver and running back. There's Irv Smith, which you guys have touched on. I'm just going to pull up matchups here quickly. And people that are grading out as the top matchups for tight end are Rob Gronkowski, Darren Waller. The Saints have a good matchup. Hockenson, Irv Smith, and Janu. Just give us another Titan to Cloudy.
What record does he need that we need to get out of
here? Does he got anything too?
Mine as well. Make something up.
Yeah, playing more than three games in a row.
For once. Tennessee has all the narratives, though. That's the worst. Yeah.
Anything, whatever. Just play whoever. Hooper could be interesting that no one talks about, right? There's, I don't know, just play whoever fits your stack. Is that what we do?
I mean, tight end's been obviously the worst position all year, right? I mean, you just play Kelce or you're gambling, you're throwing darts, right? So I think what you do is you go to Jimeno's ownership on Sunday. You see who's high owned and you don't roster that guy. And then you roster other people, right? So stay away from the chalk 100% at tight end. Do what Kirkwood says, correlates your tight end with your quarterback or your stack. Perfect idea to do a bring back. You know, Parham was fine last week. What did we get for snaps? Did he do 90%? I think he was fine on snaps. Noah Fant, elite stud. Evan Engram, elite stud. That's probably where I'm going to go. But again, look at ownership. If these guys get too high, I'll probably avoid them. But Fant and Engram are probably my favorite two just because I look for athletes and spots. Kittle, I don't know how much run you're going to get out of Kittle. San Fran has nothing to play for. We know he's come off of injury. If I knew I was going to get four quarters of usage out of Kittle, he'd be an easy, easy play at 6K. But I don't know how I'm going to get four quarters of usage out of him. That's kind of where I stand. I don't know. Tambo, what do you got?
Yeah, I like all those guys at the top. I'm kind of like a top bot. Like, that's the thing. I like Kittle, I like Waller, and I like Andrews because it's one of those things where, like, say, you have the money to spend. Tight end's usually a wasteland. Everyone likes to pay down anyway, looking for angles, all these different things. I'll pay down within my stacks, like you talked about fitting with the quarterbacks. So when I got Locke, I like Fant. When I got Kirk Cousins, I like Irv Smith, so on and so forth. But for the most part, I like those guys at the top. I was highest on Kittle. Coming into the week, I'm going to do a little bit more research tonight and just look into it some and just see what I think. But with nobody playing Waller, I'm going to be playing him because he's a stud and he fits plenty fine. And he goes with my Lock and Carr stacks in that game that I think is going to go back and forth with all these plays. And then Mark Andrews is just the easy guy to stack with Lamar. If you even need to or want to stack Lamar, I don't think you have to. I'm just saying that would be the guy that I would do it with. And it looks like he's going to be the least owned of the three. In a game that they got to win, that they are going to be out there as long as it takes. The only reason they're not out there in the fourth quarter is because they're already up by enough to let's now start resting up for what we know we did our job and we came here to do. And it's likely those two that got them there. So round it out with that.
Kittle had 55% of the snaps last week. He ran 15 routes. Just to give you an idea. I mean, he wanted 100% come back and the organization wanted to sit him out. So he's highly motivated to to really put an exclamation point on this season. And, you know, they get an interdivisional rivalry against Seattle. You know, darn well, he wants to put up like a 150 yards and a couple tutties on Seattle. So, Kirkwood, what do you think about Kittle this week?
I'm just not, I think it's a fade, but I may be wrong. I just don't see the point of letting him get hurt. So,
well, he like it's on him at this point in time. Like, the organization wanted to sit him down, and he's like, no, I'm coming back, I'm playing. So, I mean, it's him being a beast.
Yeah, I don't know. I think it is interesting. It's just that as the week went on with the ownership, like, I didn't even think the ownership was going to be there just because limited snaps last week. Yes, he did some work on it, but like you said, there was thoughts of what you guys are mentioning now where I thought people might not go there. But I think Waller and Andrews are just as interesting and are going to be much less owned. So, sort of still thinking about that one, coming around on it. I'll talk about it on my Sunday show, but I'll do some more digging. I just starting to think what you guys are saying could be true here. It makes it a little less enticing. And I do like that the other guys around them just have no ownership.
I mean, if the trend stays as it is, it's tough to play him when he's getting 50% of the snaps. Now, maybe you increase that for him, but if he's getting 50% based on a guy that normally plays 100% or 99% of the snaps, paying 6K just doesn't feel.
But you're not paying full price for him. You're not paying anything.
But it's close. But it's up there. It's 6K.
I hear what you're saying, but remember, it's coming off the injury. It's using him sparingly, and we had the same situation. I was like week two or something back when Jordan Reed is only going to play like half the snaps, but we'll manage him. And then he comes out and drops, you know, 7 for 50 with 2 touchdowns because the sparing use of him was every time they got to the damn red zone, and that's what I could easily see happening here. With Kittle, right? We'll use them when we need them. Well, it'll be on high leverage spots where they can get points out of them, and we can really take that to the next level. So hopefully people are coming down on them a little. Maybe that would help me decide. It does feel a little bit bad with the ownership there. I never really liked the higher priced, higher owned tight ends. They don't seem to work out that often.
Noah Fant does look good. Did look Noah good Fant to me, good. Though.
And Hunter Henry's already been ruled out, right? We got 85% of the snaps for Parham. He ran 33 routes, the same amount of routes that Mike Williams ran.
Yeah, that's week. Just happening. We know this is happening. He's going to score a touchdown.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay. I'll play him. He's cheap. All right. Give us your favorite stack. I'll lead it off. Hold on. I'll pull up. It's going to be Cam Newton. No, I'm kidding. Although I do think it's in play.
You got to do it.
That'll be my out there one. But Kirk Cousins, the Adam Thielen over Jefferson can play them both. But if I'm choosing one, I'm choosing Cousins to Adam Thielen, and you know, let him get the real all time record as opposed to some rookie record. And he doesn't, you know, the touchdowns are what Thielen needs. So give him the fantasy points. And I say that they pass all game. And then you bring it back with either Swift, Marvin Jones, or if you really want to be out there and try to win down the millionaire maker, you go with
Hockenson.
What did I? No, Mohamed Sanu.
Oh, Sanu.
Oh, my God.
Yep. That's like the gross one.
Maybe the worst thing the Patriots have ever done in the last 20 years is get Sanu, gave a second round pick. Yeah. Like, what are they doing?
I thought they should have used him as a tight end, but
he can throw the ball, dude. He can throw the ball in Atlanta, man. That guy's got a gun.
And then if you want to get crazy, run some Cam, but figure that one out on your own. You guys take it away.
I kind of want to hear the Cam one, to be honest.
What is the Cam stack? Is it
It would be Jacoby Myers. It would be Jacoby, but like you don't need anyone. I think it'd be Cam trying to run it himself and go out with rushing touchdowns with a bang.
And you running it back with your boy Ty?
Yeah, you can run it back with Ty. You can go to a 3K Mims, or you can go to Crowder.
Tambo, like what Crowder. Game do you Tambo, what game stack do you want? I'm looking at the Titans Houston game. Obviously that's gonna be super popular, or the Packers Bears.
I'm actually looking at I'm looking at Detroit Minnesota, which we've already beat to death, but everyone's gonna be on it. But I like the Denver one. Denver versus the Raiders. It's two shitty quarterbacks. To get them together and fight it out.
I'll take the Titans Texans one. We'll do. Now you can do like we already talked about this Tennessee thing. I think if you go Derrick Henry, you stay away. I mean, you can throw in a wide receiver in there too, but I'll do the leverage off of Derrick Henry. So we'll go Tannehill. We'll just do a skinny stack. I know Kirkwood's all about those skinny stacks. We'll just do, they both are right at 1K, you said, Kirkwood, right? Davis and AJ?
1,000 apart.
Yeah. They're both going for the 1K bonus. Yards, I think. Yeah. Kirkwood said something like that.
Yeah, they're both.
So we'll do the skinny stack because I know Corey Davis will still be lower owned. And I think Davis is still outproduced AJ Brown on the year. So give me Corey Davis at 6,200. And then we'll bring it back with, we'll stick with the wide receiver model of Chad Hansen at 4,100. Packers Bears, obviously both teams super highly motivated.
You should bring it back with Cooks. Cooks needs 1,000 yards.
Oh, okay. All right. So Brandon Cooks, says Kirkwood. And the Packer Bears, now both quarterbacks are in play with Trubisky and Rodgers. Well, we'll do the easy one with Rodgers to Devontae, and then I 100% will double correlate it. So I think Lazard and MVS are both in play. Tanyan at 5K, probably not going there. So we'll go with an MVS big play. So both Devontae and MVS, and then bring it back with my boy Darnell Mooney.
No, we forgot a tight end too, by the way. Jimmy Graham in the spot.
Komet banged up.
Yeah, he's questionable.
Packers?
Yeah, he's questionable. So, yeah, there's a little narrative there, even though he had good times in Green Bay. But, yeah.
Yeah. You know, I think you got them all. I don't mind the ones you mentioned. I just added the Drew Lock, Deshaun Hamilton, whoever else you want to use with them, Tim Patrick or – Jerry Jeudy, Fant, all those guys, stack them up and then run it back with Waller is who I'm good with there. Like I said, no one's really going up there.
Yeah, that's a good double tight end stack right there.
Yeah, I like Fant and Waller. That's two guys that stand out to me, so I could definitely see that. So, yeah, there's mm-hmm. my one to round it out. Minnesota heavy, but feels like it's getting a little bit super chalky. So don't mind the Tennessee one. I like that 1,000-yard lineup. Tannehill, Brown, Davis, Cooks. Everyone needs a
thousand. Hey, and Denver's kind of allowing Locke to be kind of like a Jameis Winston. You know, they're allowing him to, like – and he takes shots deep. So, yeah, I mean, he's a good GPP guy for sure.
Yeah, he can just stack up 25 for you. And if his other guys get 20 each, it's you had all the money to spend. You just got to hope you got the studs right that are mixed in with it. And
has he been running lately?
He will. He'll take the little goal line to the he got a goal line tuck carry last week.
Five, six man. Carries.
He's super entertaining to watch. So, it's good.
I like all it. Right. I like it.
I think that's it. It's a wrap. So that's been our season. Thanks to all the
listeners. Wait, are we coming back? We're probably coming
back. I have no clue. If we do, hopefully we'll have J-Mac on for the heads up battle.
That's what we need.
But I don't know if we are or not. Maybe Tambo knows. I don't know.
To be determined. We'll find out. I don't know. We'll see. I'd like to come back for one more. We'll
I think they bring us back for 2 weeks of playoffs.
All right. Okay. But anyway, hope people out there made some money. Hope you guys make some money this weekend. Hope each of you two make some money. Hope I make some money. I'm going to be cramming all day trying to get ready. I'm going to play a lot of GPP this weekend.
Good luck, boys.
So, good luck. This is the RG DFS Tournament Takes podcast, and we might catch you again next week. Thanks.